Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, February 18th, 2015. Today we are reading from the Big Book, Chapter 4, and we're at page 52, paragraph 2. Today's readers are Susie K., Penny C., Michelle H., and Deb W. The reference number for yesterday, February 17th, is 7336. That's 7336. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nancy G. to read the 12 steps. I'm sorry, she's not here. Melanie, would you please read the 12 steps?
I can. Good morning, Katie F. My name is Melanie C. I'm calling in from Oregon today. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie. I will now ask Anita L. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from Philadelphia area, recovered for today. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating, overeating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Anita. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 52, paragraph 2. I will ask Susie K. to begin reading, and she will be reading two paragraphs, and we will focus our comments on both paragraphs, or one of them. Thank you.
Good morning. Susie K., recovered compulsive eater here from Maine. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. So these are very powerful paragraphs, and it's the writers of the Big Book are imploring us to see that, you know, the way we're living, whether that be fully in our disease of compulsive eating, or whether it be abstinent from our compulsive foods, but without having worked the steps in this book, that, you know, there are, you know, this paragraph full of reasons to change because our life isn't going well. And so they are setting up, you know, a great argument for why we should adopt a power greater than ourselves in our life, and why we should take a chance to be open to that idea. One powerful way for us to look at that first paragraph is to replace the word we with I. So I was having trouble with personal relationships. And you could even insert when I was abstinent or when I wasn't abstinent. I couldn't control my emotional nature. I was prey to misery and depression. I couldn't make a living. I had a feeling of uselessness, etc. And so this sets up a powerful argument for doing the work as is suggested in this book. And so with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susie K. Who would like to share on these paragraphs?
This is Kim. Bella. Can I share?
Kim.
Larry.
Okay. I heard Bella, Kim G, and there was someone before Larry. I think they
Kathy
ended with
K.
A, Kathy K. I thought it was Kathy K, but I thought she said something C, so it just didn't work. Okay. So let's go with those four, and go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bella G, and I'm a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Katie, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. Wow, so much in these two paragraphs. So the first, I want to focus on the sentence in the first paragraph, to change our point of view. And then the last sentence in the second paragraph, but the God idea did. Yes, to change our point of view. Wow, to change my belief. Because before I was in the program, yes, I knew that I am overweight, but my point of view was because of me. I needed the ego. I needed the power. Yes, I am responsible of other people's behaviors and thinking. Yes, I wanted to believe that I am overweight and I am eating only because of other people's behavior and how they talk to me and how they behave. If they only would change, if they only would be different. And then I went to myself, if I wouldn't do so many mistakes, if I would be so careful, if I wouldn't say whatever I said, I wouldn't run to the food. This was my belief. And then sure, I didn't live happy. I felt that I am useless. I felt miserable. Thank you, God, that now I am in the program and I changed my belief. Yes, my belief is now that I am human and I am powerless. I don't know everything all the time. I am not responsible of the outcomes. I am connected to the power of God. This is a power of love and acceptance. I change my belief. Yes, and today I know my disease, the food is only a symptom. And I have to look for my connection to God. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bella. Kim G, you're up.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. You know, to me, this was the key to step two. This was the key for me taking step two, coming to that conclusion. My ideas didn't work. So let me tell you what my ideas brought me to. My ideas brought me to, in my mid-20s, living with my parents in my 8x10 bedroom, childhood bedroom that was colored, bubblegum pink and had Holly Hobby furniture, and most Saturday nights I spent with my favorite two guys, Ben and Jerry, and a romance novel. That's where my ideas got me. And when I came into LA, for 6 years, I was able to stay abstinent on the fellowship, the tools, and using the steps kind of like the Twister game from the 70s. You know, right hand blue, left hand yellow. Maybe I'll do step 6, maybe I'll do step 3, maybe I'll do a little bit of dabble in step 12, and that worked. But after 6 years of back-to-back abstinence, I came, page 32, when we talk about the man of 30, I became victim of a belief that practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified me to drink like other people. And I picked up thinking I could just get back on track. Well, after that, I could never get more than a year. And then after a while, only you get more than a couple months, and then a couple weeks, and then only a couple days, and maybe even only a couple hours. Until finally, 4 years ago, I came into a meeting where I heard the word recovered, which I'd never heard before in the room. And what struck me about that was these people weren't only abstinent, but they were happy and abstinent. I didn't even know that was possible. I thought you could be abstinent, white-knuckling it, fighting the food, maybe get to bed at night with your head on the pillow, totally exhausted, saying, oh, I beat the feed food one more day. But here was a group of people saying they were recovered, laughing, enjoying life, connected to other people, to a power greater than themselves. And here I was, 17 years in OA, absolutely miserable, having gained a lot of my weight back. I was out of ideas, out of ideas. So where my step two came in, as I was out of ideas, I believed in my powerlessness. And these people were telling me that the God idea worked. And I believed those people. I didn't know if the power would work for me, but I believed it worked for them. And that was enough to have me come to the conclusion of step two to move to step three. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim. Kathy Kay, your turn.
Thank you, Katie, for your service. I'm Kathy Kay, a recovered compulsive overeater. And what I wanted to share on these two paragraphs is for the newcomer or for anyone who still hasn't found a God of their understanding is that this process of discovering a God that could relieve these bedevilments from me happened over a long period of time. I had been in program for 10 years before I did my step work thoroughly, and even when I got to step four, I was still making a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood Him, and I didn't yet have a good, solid conception. I did have the willingness, which I began to develop in this step two, but it wasn't until I started writing my fourth step, and my sponsor asked me to say the third step every time I sat down to write. And as I started to do that writing, I found things coming onto the page through my pen that I had very little awareness of. It was because of the fourth step questions, and also, obviously, now today I can see the help of a power greater than myself. And when I started to see and experience some of these bedevilments to fall from my shoulders, the resentments that I felt, the fears that I felt, when I woke up in the morning not full of fear and with enthusiasm to face my day, I knew that I was becoming something other than what I had been for the first 40 some odd years of my life. So I just wanted, you know, the bedevilments I knew described me. I knew that almost from day one in the 12-step rooms. I had been working on those bedevilments in therapy on and off for most of my adult life. But it was the action of working with this higher power that I did not yet understand or experience, and doing the work as it's outlined in step four and beyond, that I began to feel that connection and feel the gratitude of not having to struggle with these by myself and begin to feel and see the light in front of me. It really was, in my experience, not only transforming, but I had to label it a miracle, and I had never experienced a miracle in my life. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. And the next person is Larry. Larry Kay, your turn.
Thanks, Katie, for your service. Larry K., recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. You know, with seeing the problem solved in others, and frankly, you know, admittedly, I didn't see in the rooms the problem solved. I saw a lot of wonderful, dear people, but many people like myself, the problem hadn't been solved. You know, and eventually, thank God, I did see that the problem had been solved in some others. And, you know, and so there had to be a fundamental shift in my thinking, you know, from intellectualizing to simply letting go. And, you know, at some point in my trajectory of misery that was fueled by these bedevilments, I had no choice but to concede that self-reliance had failed me utterly. And yet that very concession didn't assure that I would act, you know, because there were many people in the room, like these dear, wonderful people, but they like me, they were not acting. They did not take action. You know, we would always be afforded free will. And so we kept picking up and working tools. And maybe we didn't know any better, you know, but we're now on a different basis. And I believe that, you know, God's loving care for me is the very definition of that divine providence, that the result of these 12 steps showed me that there was no limit to this divine power, only the limitations that existed in my mind. You know, there were two states of being. There was access to this power source as a result of working these steps, or the continued rejection or departure from the power source, whatever that power source is for you. And, you know, because I had to remember that lack of power was my dilemma. So I had to find a way to access this power. And unbeknownst to me, you know, the holes in my stomach from liposuction surgeries, that was evidence, you know, of the unmanageability. The steps were a very simple way that one could approach and ultimately communicate with this higher power. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, my God of food and had the power to kill, while their God of mercy was restoring them to sanity. And even if what they were experiencing was merely an illusion, pure fantasy, I'd take their smiles and their peace and serenity over my tears and my fears every day. And, you know, I'll wrap up and say that, you know, I heard someone talk about like the ego prayer, you know, kind of like, God, thank you for all you've done for me. You know, you've changed my life in miraculous ways. I'm so grateful for all you've done. So grateful. Now, God, I'll take it from here. I got this thing. You know, the ego is so powerful. You know, from complete restoration back to self-sufficiency. So I have to always remember that it's God, it's God, it's God. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you. And I'd like to share. My name is Katie, recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, I had read the big book multiple times and had never just completely focused on these bedevilments the way I have, you know, in the last few years doing, you know, the big book study on this meeting and other big book studies I've done. but, you know, the thing that catches me here is that this has nothing to do with alcohol. This has nothing to do with a food plan or abstinence or anything else. It clearly separates me from people who just have too much food in their life and who are able to walk away from it when they have a good reason and are able to lose the weight eventually and you know, maybe just have a little problem here and there. But, you know, I had every single one of these things going on in my life in disease. And then, you know, today, is everything perfect every single day where I never have a feeling of uselessness, where I never have fear, where I'm never unhappy? No. I mean, there are days when those things float through my path and I have to get back on my knees. And so, you know, that's why, you know, our idea did not work, but the God idea did, you know, and that's
that's what it brings me back to every time, is that, no, I don't have all the answers for my life continuous forever and ever. I'm going to continue to have to get back to on my knees every day, asking God to direct my thinking, asking God to direct my actions, because the food's been down for decades, but I am still, I'm still prey to these things, you know, unfortunately, as a human being. And I'm grateful that I have this disease because I do have a solution. I have a way out from, you know, the plight of being human and the plight of having things not go my way. I now have a higher power that I trust to do better for me than I could do on my own. Because as Kim shared, you know, my life too was very small when I got into recovery. It was nothing but working and eating and praying I didn't drive off a cliff. And, you know, that was my best thinking. And so anything is better than that. And I'm so grateful that I don't, even though these things can crop up, I don't have to live there today. And with that, I'll pass. Who else would like to share on these paragraphs?
I'd like to share. This is Vasa.
Vasa?
Sue B.
Okay, Vasa and Sue B. Go ahead, Vasa.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Vasa. Oh, calling, recovered compulsive overeater calling from Florida. And thank you so much for your service. And self-sufficiency didn't work for me anymore. I needed to find a power greater than myself. And that was the key to my program. Again, I've shared this many times. Somebody 12-stepped me for about a week before she took me to the first meeting, and she became my sponsor for a while. And the only thing she said, you can do this, is with God's help. You need to surrender, and you need to put the food in God's hands, and you need to surrender and put your life and will in God's hands, and He's going to help you. You need to trust me. It's going to happen, you know, because I've seen all the miracles that have happened in the program. And she says, I'm one of those miracles, you know. And I was just so desperate. I was in so much pain at that time. And I was sold because there's nothing more out there for me to try. And I was sold. I said, I will do whatever you want me to do. You know, I will surrender. You know, I didn't think it was such a big deal to surrender, get on my knees. But I was terrified, the fear, because I grew up with fear for punishing God. And then I grew up in a communist country. Also, I was taught in school, there's no God. So I had a lot of mixed messages in my mind, you know. So even though I was terrified, you know, I humbled myself, you know, on my knees. And, you know, people can, they don't have to go on their knees up front. They can be on a chair. They can be anywhere and surrender to God, because God is available to us anywhere, any place. But at that time, that's what I did. And I still get on my knees. I've never stopped getting on my knees every morning and thank God at nighttime. And I, you know, at the beginning, I was on my knees all the time because I was tempted to eat. You know, I couldn't, I was tempted. I wanted the food. So I was on my knees all the time. Now, you know, I pray, I get on my knees in the morning and pray, and at night, I thank God. But again, when we saw others solve their problem by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubling the power of God. Ideas did not work, but the God idea did. And that was the key for me. I needed to surrender, and I needed to throw myself into the program and the 12 steps, you know. And it was a gradual surrender with my life and my will. It was a transformation. You know, God was doing me what I can do for myself by going through the steps and studying the steps and everything I do in my life. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa. Sue B., your turn.
Good morning. This is Sue B. from Maryland, a recovered compulsive overeater. Very grateful. Thank you for your service, Katie, and thank you for everybody on the line. What I wanted to share today was where I came from. Because I started this program in 1984, and I got abstinent right away, and I had 4 years of back-to-back, quote-unquote, perfect abstinence. I was walking through, I went through AWOLs, I worked the steps, and what happened to me was I got, my ego crept in. Without my even knowing it, my will and my ego, my worst character defects, came back, and I became what I like to call Miss OA. And my fix-it compulsion got out there, and I thought I had to fix everybody. And where was God in all this? Where was my God? Somewhere in the recesses of my mind. And today, since I've been hearing recovery, I know that I have to keep my higher power with me at the forefront because my will is so strong. And so, you know, I like to say my higher power sits on my shoulder, but I have to have a level of concentration on that spirit every minute. You know, as I go to work, as I'm interacting with my children, I don't have the answers for my children. I don't have answers for my sponsees. I can be a guide. I can talk. I can let God speak through me as to how it's working for me today. But I don't have the answers for anyone. And I am so grateful today that very late, I learned this lesson. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Okay, would anybody else like to share on this, or we can move on?
It's Leah.
Okay, Leah, go ahead.
Thank you so much. Hi, everybody. It's Leah M., recovered compulsive overeater. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. You know, in 1987, I was eating with a sense of urgency and desperation that I had never known before. This disease had just, you know, continued to progress, and it was like a runaway train. And, you know, I came to I was in a lockup facility, you know, and I had a plastic wristband around my left hand there. And, you know, I had this unmanageability that they speak about in the bedevilments here, you know, where emotionally, socially, financially, you know, psychologically, every facet of my life had deteriorated. You know, and this was the result both by my disease of compulsive overeating and this philosophy of self-sufficiency. You know, my basic flaw had been this faulty dependency on self or dependency on circumstances or dependency on people to supply me with a feeling of security and well-being and happiness. And, of course, those things failed me utterly. And when I, you know, would feel the angst of life, I would, of course, dig my fists deeper into bags and boxes, you know, and despite years of involvement with psychology to deal with these bedevilments, and despite years of therapy and self-help, I did not see the defects and those old ideas and attitudes that were dominating me. I did not understand that I was parading through life as my own higher power. And until I understood that and accepted my own role in my own demise and misery, my prospects for a change in my life was basically nil. You know, it wasn't until I was beaten to a pulp and this book was cracked open to me and described to me, and I totally began to throw myself at this program with the same desperation and urgency as I had been eating. And, you know, something began to come between me and compulsive overeating. It was called the recovery process. And I began to be given, you know, a sixth sense beyond the five senses that I used to be dominated by. And I was beginning to have some grace to maintain this spiritual condition that I had been introduced to, and I began to be changed. You know, I began to rely on this unknown source that I couldn't name, I couldn't describe, and I certainly could not fully understand. But I pressed into these steps, and the result was this spiritual awakening, which resulted in a change. I began to be changed in the way I thought, in the way I felt, and especially in the way I behaved. And what distinguished that whole process from the other things I had embarked upon, the self-help programs and the therapy, is that this change is done to me, not by me. And my life began to change. And all the relationships in my life began to change because the way I was interacting with life began to change. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on then. Penny C., will you please read that next paragraph, the Wright Brothers Almost?
Yes, good morning. This is Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater, living in Massachusetts near Boston. The Wright brothers' almost childish faith that they could build a machine which would fly was the mainspring of their accomplishment. Without that, nothing could have happened. We agnostics and atheists were sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. When others showed us that God's sufficiency worked with them, we began to feel like those who had insisted the Wrights would never fly. I like this term, their childish faith. I think I would, I think of it anyway for myself as childlike faith, the complete belief that they could do with God's help, with an inspiration, they could do what no one else had been able to do. And they go on, it says that this was the mainspring of their accomplishment. And the mainspring is a something that, a part of something that is necessary to make it work. And so what we're hearing is that without this faith, that it would not, that it would, they would be able to produce a machine that could lift off the ground and fly, then it never would have happened. So that's the important part for me, that for me to believe, for me to go on, for me to engage in life, I need to know, I have a belief, a real faith, that there is something to be accomplished, and that I have something I can trust and can have faith in. And that, for me, is God. When it goes on to say we agnostics and atheists were sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems, I've worked with so many people who believe that in the beginning. And as they go on and read and study this book and listen to other people, gradually, ever so gradually, they come to believe in a power greater than themselves. And that's the key, just a power greater than themselves. This God idea did work for these first 100 that we're reading about, these first 100 alcoholics who recovered. But I just, there's a paragraph in Working with Others on page 95 that whenever we're talking about, you know, believing in a God and calling that higher power God, it says on page 95 of the book, it says, we have no monopoly on God. We simply are presenting an approach that worked for us. So that leaves the opening for people to begin. I quote that to people, that you don't have to believe what I believe. You don't have to believe what the people on A Vision for You believe. Because it says very clearly that this is not the only way. So start with whatever way you know. But I do realize that the recovered people that I know, the truly recovered people, studied this book and found the answer there. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Penny. Who would like to share on this paragraph? Press star 1 to unmute.
Sarah W.
Okay, go ahead, Sarah W.
Good morning, Katie. Thank you for your service. Sarah W., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Iowa. You know, the thought that comes to me when we're talking about this is that when others showed us that God's sufficiency worked with them, we began to feel like those who had insisted the Wright brothers would never fly. You know, that old contempt prior to investigation. You know, I think for so many people, including myself at times, that there is such simplicity to this, and we make it so difficult. And if we just empty out ourselves of what we think we know, and we allow ourselves to just have one smidgen of thought that all these things that I've done, all this insanity that I've been through, whether it be my behaviors in life, my unhappiness in life, my feeling like I never fit, all these things, and all the ways that I've tried to get around it through therapy, through relationships, if I can just put all that aside and say, maybe, just maybe, there's something here. That opens the door to infinity. And, you know, I think that the idea of self-sufficiency, you know, I place my parents in a position of being my God, and I think we all do when we're born. You know, we look at these people, and they're showing us and teaching us, and, you know, we're all fallible. And the reality is that we start to realize our own fallibility in a healthy way when we work through the steps. No longer do we need to punish ourselves, but we say, okay, this is what I've done, this is who I was, but is this who I want to be? And as it stated, you know, when we work the steps change us. You know, we have to be willing to do the work. And I like what somebody said the other day, willingness without action is fantasy. So today, the action is, how can I be of service to others, and how can I be the person that God would intend me to be? And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah W. Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
This is Lois.
Hey, Lois, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Katie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois M. in Massachusetts. Yeah, when I listen to, you know, what's being read this morning and discussed, step two, you know, came to believe. It brings me back to, you know, as an addict, all right, and I was a real addict. There wasn't anything I wouldn't do to chase what I needed. First of all, it was the pain of the disease, you know, that created this. Severe, you know, drive that I had, the insanity, and you know, it was one of the most painful things that have ever happened to me, and it was all in emotional and mental and emotional pain. You know, I had suffered a lot of pain in different ways in my life, physical pain, but this was something that totally drove me mad. It would have driven me mad. I remember, but you know, I think that's what I wanted to share, that it was only the pain of this disease that helped me to become willing. I was willing to do anything in different levels. In fact, I remember one person told me, and when I couldn't stay abstinent, you know, that I was dishonest, you know, and that, you know, I'm sure I remember that, but I'm sure that, I mean, at that time, you know, I couldn't think of my state of mind as anything different than what it was, but it was the pain of eating compulsively that drove me to be willing. You know, I couldn't give up anything until I found something that, you know, that got through my denial and the obsession of this mind. So, you know, if there are newcomers, you know, on the line, you know, this is the answer. It's like somebody says on the line, door number one or door number two. And I couldn't do anything different until I was beaten. And the pain of this disease, compulsive overeating, the mental despair, the shame, the guilt, the negativity, you know, beginning to believe that everyone in my life was my problem, you know. You were my problem. They were my problem. I was desperate. I was ready to go to an insane asylum. So, you know, if you're listening today and you're just beginning to understand and think that this, you know, may be your answer, you know, this is the only answer. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, you have a physical allergy which creates an obsession of the mind that will always make it okay for you to keep eating. And it isn't until you've had, you know, your fill of that, you know, that I was ready to surrender. And this is the answer. Thank you very much, and I'm going to pass.
I'd like to share.
Okay, and what's your name?
Nancy R.
Okay, just hang on one second, Nancy. Is there anybody else after Nancy? We have time for a couple more.
Suji.
Okay, Nancy R. and then Suji. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. My name is Nancy R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And this phrase, the childless faith, reminds me of the children I work with. I had a career in education, and when I was in elementary ed, I would take my students on field trips, and they were so trusting. They distrusted. They didn't give a thought as to how they were going to get there, what was going to happen. They just had this trust in me as their leader, and I could take their hands, and they would follow me anywhere just happily because they had the confidence that I was going to get them to where we were supposed to go, and I was going to make sure that their needs were taken care of and that I would return them back to the school safely. And I was thinking about the innocence of little kids, how they don't have a lot of unfettered biases, how they're so malleable. And that is a wonderful example for me. That's how I must be. That's how I had to become in order to receive the wonderful gifts of this program. And I'm just so grateful that I became teachable. I had a lot of biases, unlike little kids. I had a lot of preconceived religious notions that had to be cast aside. But once I became teachable, and it was the pain of weighing over 300 pounds that made me teachable. But once I became teachable, and I was just able to surrender and say, I'll do anything. And I had to get over the idea that I had been taught as a kid that I was responsible for myself, that I had to do it. That was my greatest hurdle because I tried like heck everything I could possibly do. I'm so grateful. I just really want to express gratitude. I'm so grateful for OA. I'm extremely grateful for this line. I'm grateful for the wonderful sponsor that I found on this line and for all of you who come on here every day sharing your pearls of wisdom with me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy R. Sue G., you're up.
Good morning. Thanks for your service, Katie, and thanks for everybody who shared and listened. And it's Sue G., recovered in southeastern Pennsylvania. And this, the Wright brothers and their dream, the process of this recovery is absolutely greatest step for me, and it is the big book guidance that OA has brought to my life that has opened me. So I relate to the paragraph as, I am now open to a childlike dream in an adult world. And I'll call that something. I call it faith. And this evolution, it has been through the 12 steps and the big book as a guide. And it has to do with honesty, openness, and willingness. The honesty that what I had to really confront was that I, a trained health professional, I liked living in diseases. So there's the disease of compulsive eating. There's the disease of codependency. There's the disease of depression. There's the disease of closed-mindedness. I could name 1,000 diseases which all closed my mind in honesty. And to honesty, it closed my mind. I became a helpless patient. Oh, my God, life is I'm doomed. I'm doomed. And then I cottoned on to the first step, powerless and unmanageable life with all of these names. Oh, now it's ADD. Now it's this. Now it's that. And I was in jail with all of these names. And that's the jail that working the steps in order, as instructed in the big book, has really changed things for me. And change them so that I'm happy, joyous, and free, and I don't have to be right. I don't have to give the right name to it. I don't know the right name. And so what I feel free to do now is something that I've always known, which is to remember what I've always known, but remember it with humility and ask for help, ask my higher power for help. So now what has a name in my life? And this is the outside-inside issue. The name that is the name I've given to the God of my understanding. And that's where the intimate connection is. And that's the connection that helps me in every relationship. And it helps me to be able to hear all of you as the source of help, all of you together as a group conscience. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Sue G. We have time for one more share. We'll take that spot.
This is Berta.
Okay, Berta, go ahead. Thank you.
Yes, I was thinking about this as I was listening to people share and looking at these bedevilments, and it tells me the answer to this whole thing is to stop doubting the power of God. And then it says, our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. And I thought about what were my ideas when I came to OA. Where was my thinking about God? More importantly, what were my actions? And so when I came in, when I first came in, I got the tools, and the food has to go down, and I learned about the doctor's opinion. And, of course, I knew if I ate any of my alcoholic foods in any form, that was going to trigger me and I'd be back where I was. However, I didn't understand about the spiritual experience and how that spiritual experience could heal to a great degree the mental obsession in my mind, the mental twist. Now, that has to come from that spiritual experience. And so step two was going to be very important to me and all the other steps that were going to give me that experience to step nine. But I really believe that 1, 2, 3, I'm home free. Because in step three, I'm going to turn everything over to the power of God. Boom, done, over. Why bother with the rest? I'm not going to want to write down everything I've done wrong because the prayers I had for God, my ideas, my old ideas, were something like this. God, change my husband, change my mother, change my boss, change my next-door neighbor, change the hospital, change that place that I don't like where that I have to wait at the traffic light forever. Those were my requests to God. but change me? Oh, no, no, because, see, you see, in my mind, I was the one that was right, and the only thing that made me sick and made me frustrated to the point where I was eating, well, that all came from outside me. I blamed everything on external forces, but by working through these steps, I learned that I was the creator of my misery, and I was asking God to fix something that I created over and over again. But those were my old ideas. I didn't want to give up my old ideas. I was all for God, but I only wanted to pray the Serenity Prayer and the Third Step Prayer, and then I wanted God to take care of everything else. I wanted no responsibility. I didn't want to do any of the hard work. But as my mind became more open and I was finally able to be honest with myself, I began to grow and make a little progress, and I began to work the steps. Now, this God idea worked for me. Berta's ideas did not work. Berta's ideas were what gave me all these bedevilments. I could no longer go through this paragraph and say, I can't get along with people because they don't act right. I couldn't go to this paragraph and say, I'm prey to misery and depression. Well, of course I am. I'm bipolar. God can just fix that. And, you know, all these things. Fear, well, yes, I wouldn't be afraid if people didn't act this way, you know. And so I had to give up blaming all the external things and trust God. Just trust that no matter what I see in front of me, I had to assume that I was looking through Berta's glasses instead of God's glasses. And there's no way I could think like God. So what do? I trust God, that God has not only infinite power, but boundless, unconditional love for me and wants for me all the things that I need to have in my life to live a whole, happy, effective life. Because my ideas for what I need are going to take me right back to the bedevilment. So I had to learn to surrender and be humble and just trust God. And, you know, without knowing what that might mean for me, just trust God. Because if these other people who recovered had done that and found success, then I might as well follow them, because at the beginning my thoughts were, what other choice do I have? So how do I become a recovered compulsive overeater? Just give up. Just give up, lay down all my weapons, and say, here I am, God. And when I...
Okay, we need to wrap up.
Okay, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you to everyone who has shared. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Michelle H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Michelle H., recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Katie. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.